welcome to Jackie's Quilting Chronicles, episode number 22. Today we're still doing quilt market reporting, and I have another special guest with me today. I have John Adams, who is a quilter down here. This is your second market, and I wanted to invite him in to kind of give us a male perspective on quilting. Welcome, John.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
So tell me, let's kind of go start from the beginning. What got you into quilting? What excited you about it? What got you going?
Yeah, so I guess I've been quilting now about 3 or 4 years. Mm-hmm. Really what got me into it, so I have six-year-old twins. Mm-hmm. And so when the twins were born, my wife decided to be a stay-at-home mom. So she left her job and stayed at home with the twins. And it probably took about 4 or 5 months of her being at home alone with the twins before she realized she needed a hobby. Mm-hmm. So she needed something to, a diversion, something to take up her time. And for whatever reason, she decided she wanted to learn how to sew. It was sort of an impulse that she had.
Yeah.
So she did, we were living in Charlotte at the time, North Carolina, and she did a lot of research about sewing machines, learning how to sew classes, you know, where she could take classes to learn. So she did a lot of that research, and we bought her a machine and took some classes, and she really got into sewing. She wanted to start making clothes for the babies, but she also really got into bags. She made a lot of tote bags and purses, and that was her thing. She really enjoyed that. And she dabbled a little bit in quilting, but she was really into the bags at the time. So what happened over time was she enjoyed the process of making the bag, but she would always bring me along to help her pick out the fabrics.
Ah.
So she recognized that I had an eye for putting things together and for kind of picking out the fabric. So, for example, she wanted to make a tote bag for her mother's birthday present. She would pull me along to the sewing store, help, you know, we'd look through the racks, and that's when my eyes were open to fabric. I mean, really, I mean, I've always been a creative person, but never really found that one outlet that, you know, I've tried scrapbooking and drawing and a lot of different things, but nothing really held. But being in the fabric stores and helping her pick out and putting different things together, and not just from the same line, but kind of looking across the store and saying, I think this would look great with that, really got my creative juices flowing.
Yeah.
So before long, I was selecting all the fabrics for her project. And that's what
good collaboration, though.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I did not know anything about sewing machines. Yeah. I had never touched one. I didn't even know how it worked. So we kind of had this, you know, partnership going. And that's when I was introduced to, you know, Amy Butler Fabrics. Yeah. I think the Lotus line had just come out at that time.
Yeah.
So we were lucky to have a great store near us in Charlotte, just by chance, the store that was closest. The shop owner there had a great eye, and she had a lot of the modern fabrics, Joel Dewberry and Urban Chicks, and a lot of those lines that were popular at that time.
Right.
So my wife was using a lot of those in her projects, and I was kind of really jazzed about that.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought they were great. And so, you know, life happens and things get busy. She started, you know, using the machine less and less as the babies were getting older. We got pregnant again with our son. But really, I told her one day, I said, I really want to learn how to make a quilt.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll never forget, we were in New York City, because that's where I'm from. So we were up there visiting family, and we were at the City Quilter.
I'm originally from New Jersey.
Okay. So we were at the City Quilter. You know, she was picking out some fabric for bags. And they had the Amy Butler, the brick path pattern, the free pattern.
Yeah.
They had the pad of them on the counter.
Yeah.
And I, you know, she was shopping, and I was looking at the pattern. I said, you know, I think that I could do this, because it was a fairly easy pattern.
Right.
You know, no seams to match or anything.
Right.
So, of course, brilliant marketing and merchandising. They had the free pattern. They had all the bolts of the Lotus line.
Yeah.
And before you know it, I bought stuff to make my first quilt.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and that was how long ago? Three years?
Yeah,
three
probably. Years? No, it's probably about 4 years
now. 4 years ago.
Yeah,
okay.
I've been blogging, I guess, about 3 years.
Yes,
but,
and that's how I first met you, virtually met you, was through blogging.
Yeah, so this was all several months before I even thought about starting my blog.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, then we got home, and I said, you know, now you have to teach me how to sew.
Mm-hmm.
You have to teach me how to use the machine, which I didn't know how to do. So she taught me how to use the machine, and then I'm forgetting the chronology here, but for Christmas, whatever year that was, for Christmas that year, for my Christmas present, my wife bought us together to do a beginning quilters class.
Oh, really?
At our local shop.
Oh, how nice is that?
Yeah, so we had moved to Raleigh at the time, and you know, we were new to that city and kind of figuring out our place there. And she just thought that would be a good thing for us to do, to get out one night a week, you know, and that would be a great Christmas present that we had that time together to do something that we both enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
it's pretty ironic looking back, because I think that was the last time she ever sewed a quilt. Yeah, that was that class.
Is she doing the tote bags, though?
She's really not. She just started a PhD program.
Oh, okay.
So she's
okay.
She's studying for her doctorate, and so she's kind of busy.
So you haven't been out? Just was that one time you did the quilt classes?
Yeah. So I had already, to be honest with you, I had already, the quilt class was great because it got me doing it.
Yeah.
But it didn't teach me much because I was self-taught by that point.
Right.
So before that class even started, my wife had taught me to use a machine.
Right.
But the blog world had already opened up to me, and that's where I learned. Yeah. I mean, I read quilting and sewing blogs for months before I even touched a sewing machine.
And
I felt like I was building up that knowledge in my head of just what it means to, you know, sew two things together from the very beginning, just what it means to press seams, just what it means to match things up. So I was doing a lot. I studied a lot before I ever touched the machine.
Right. But, I mean, it's you hit on a great point. I mean, there's so much out there on the internet itself. Yeah. Blogging especially, I mean, there's tons of tutorials. Boy, you really can become self-taught these days if you don't have the time to go out and take a class.
Yeah, and I did. I mean, that's exactly, I did take that beginner's quilting class, but like I said, I already kind of, I was actually, you know, not to sound a certain way, but, you know, my teacher was telling us things, and I was kind of like, that's not how I learned it on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm going to stick to the way that Amanda Jean taught me or someone whose blog I was reading.
Yeah, I mean, you do what works for you.
Yeah.
And I find that oftentimes when I go take a class, too, which I still do, I mean, there are, you know, you learn, I feel that if I walk away from a class with just one extra tip that really helped me. I mean, even if they're doing one thing one way and I'm doing another, that's okay because it may work for me, but not for them. But if I walk away with one thing, I feel that the class was worth it.
Yeah.
You know, and that is like coming here to market, I think, and you're learning stuff and you know, you're learning about new things and same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, can you tell my listeners what your, blog address is so they can come visit you?
Yeah, so it's funny. So my blog address is www.quiltdad.com, which I look back now and I think, oh, if I was starting my blog now, would that be the name I chose? It was one of those decisions I made in 15 seconds when the blogger screen came up because I decided to start a blog, which beforehand I had always thought, what am I ever going to blog about?
Right.
And so, you know, I kind of decided one day, okay, I'm going to start a blog, and the screen came up and that was the first thing that came to mind.
Yeah.
And I just typed it in. I was like, this is probably taken, but it wasn't.
Yeah.
So it kind of stuck.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's quiltdad.com and it's been great. I mean, that's sort of here at market and at other events, that's how people know who I am.
Now would if you were to change the name, what would you change it to?
You know, I don't know. It's a great question. I work in branding in my real job, quote unquote, my day job. And so I think about these things a lot, you know, what's a good brand name and what I want to be associated with. I probably never have changed mine because I never thought of anything better.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm at a point where I don't want to change it because I kind of feel like that's how people know who I am. But
but
early on I was like, oh, if I want to change this, what should I change it to? And I couldn't come up with anything better.
Yeah.
The one I almost went with the day that I started that blog was, I was going to call it Close Enough Quilting because I felt like that was my philosophy. You know, I decided early on if I was going to get into quilting, I wasn't going to let myself get stressed out about the precision of it,
right?
Because I know myself.
Yeah.
I know my own personality, and I can be a perfectionist.
Yeah.
So, you know, I could work on something for hours. Then if I miss that last seam, you know, that project will be discarded in my head because I ruined it.
You can't sweat the small things.
And so I decided early on, like, this is something I'm going to do for fun. This is going to be a hobby. I'm not going to sweat the small stuff.
Yeah.
And so I almost went with Close Enough Quilting because I felt like, you know, a lot of people say, and when I took that class, you know, my teacher was very big on, did your seams match up? You know, you kind of run the stuff through the machine, and then when you open it up, she was always checking the seams.
Oh, she was walking around checking them?
Well, not checking them, but, you know, she wanted us to learn what, how to match up seams and stuff. So, but I remember in that class thinking, I don't care if they're a millimeter off.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's
not
important to me. So I almost went with Close Enough Quilting, but I'm glad I didn't.
Yeah. I think you're right. I mean, people do recognize you by Quilt Dad.
Right.
So I think it was good. What do your kids think of you quilting?
Well, it's funny. They don't, you know, they're not, they haven't received the biases of society yet, what, you know, gender roles are. So they think it's great. I mean, they love coming into the room I use at home for sewing, and they love looking at all the fabrics. Of course, you know, they love, when I was at market in Minneapolis, I came home with Heather Ross's Far, Far Away, and my daughters just thought that was the greatest thing ever.
Yeah.
You know, the unicorns and the fairy tales, and You know, every time they come into that room, they're like, when are you going to make my quilt?
Yeah.
When are you going to make their quilt? That's a great question. I need to. But yeah, you know, they, and actually, I have twin daughters that are 6 years old, mm-hmm. and even in the last couple of months, they keep asking me, when are you going to teach us how to sew?
That's
so I was like,
great.
Absolutely.
If they have an interest in it, sure, get them started early.
So I when I cut my scraps and stuff after projects, if I have big enough pieces, I cut 5-inch squares, and
mm-hmm.
I just keep a basket of them, 5-inch squares from all different lines,
yeah.
just because I know that down the road they'll come in useful.
Yeah.
And I put that big basket in front of them, and I said, pick out whatever you want in your quilt.
Do they
and
play with them, like arrange the fabrics on the table or the
do.
Floor or whatever?
Do
they do.
They do on the floor while I'm working on something.
Yeah.
They'll be on the floor arranging and...
Yeah.
My daughter Megan, she just is all into it. So just a couple of weekends ago, I had her and I was teaching her how to feed the fabrics through the machine,
yeah.
and you know, teaching her how to lay things out
yeah.
the way that she likes it. So I think that they're going to get into it.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. We need new young quilters,
yeah,
right?
Well, 6 years old. I don't know
yeah,
that
well,
young, but
that's a, you know what I'll tell you. I went to a friend of mine's quilt show just in a little church a few weekends ago. I posted it on the blog, and I did a little slideshow, and there was this one girl there. She was a little girl. She made her first quilt. She was 8 years old,
mm-hmm.
and it was just, you know, squares. I don't know what size they were, but they were just, you know, squares.
Mm-hmm.
She did a great job. She did it with very little help from, I think it was her grandmother she had done it with, and she was so proud. She was 8 years old, so, you know,
yeah.
it's never too young,
no.
so they can do it. So tell me what, when you're looking at fabrics, what is it that you look for? What inspires you? What kind of fabrics attract you?
Really, I hate to pigeonhole and say
mm-hmm.
I only like this type of fabric, or, but, you know, 'cause I find that there are fabrics of all different genres that
mm-hmm.
appeal to me.
Mm-hmm.
I do tend to mostly use a lot of more of the more modern fabrics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I said, Amy Butler is, her fabric line is what got me interested
mm-hmm.
in this whole industry.
Mm-hmm.
So things like, I mean, her Lotus line to me is still a classic,
yeah.
Which I,
as it
people
is for
agree
many
because
people.
It's still being
yeah.
printed, right? So,
and she's got her beautiful soul blossoms
yeah,
coming out.
Yeah. So I mean, I love her stuff. I just really look for things that I think are functional.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by functional is, can I see that? Can I see my family using that in our home?
Right.
And so it doesn't have to, it doesn't matter to me. Oh, my house, you know, a fig tree quilt won't look
mm-hmm.
right in my house. It's
mm-hmm.
not, it would actually, the way
mm-hmm.
we decorate it. But I don't try to just pigeonhole.
Mm-hmm.
I will only look at these types of quilts because that's what will look good in our house.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't care. I just want.
You do because you like it.
Yeah. And so there are things that are reproductions that I look at and I say, that would be really cute. You know,
mm-hmm.
and there are things that are very modern that I think that would be very striking.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as there is that appeal.
Right.
I'm drawn to it.
So there's really no limit.
There's no limit. Yeah. And I think what a lot of the newer quilters or quote unquote modern quilters
mm-hmm.
are doing, they're mashing together genres, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they might take a very modern fabric and use it in a traditional pattern.
Right.
Or take a very traditional fabric and use it in a modern pattern
right.
or, you know, more of a minimalist pattern.
Yeah.
I think that those mashups are really exciting,
right,
too.
Right. Now, one of the things that I know that you're involved in quite a bit is you do a lot of bees.
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain what a bee is,
sure.
an online bee, because that's really what you're involved in,
yep.
correct? And what attracted you to that?
Yeah. So that's actually a lot of my background, my quilting background to date revolves around these online swaps, bees, activities.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest with you, that's why I started my blog.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why I really started, well, I started for two reasons. One was just to get feedback because I was a brand new quilter.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, if I put stuff out there, there will probably be people who will
sure.
find me and I'd love their feedback. I'd love
right.
to hear what I'm doing right, what I'm doing wrong. And of course, when you're new at something, if someone pats you on the back and says you're doing a great job, that wants you to do more.
Sure.
So that was the first
sure.
reason. But really the second reason was because through reading other blogs, and I read blogs year before I started
right.
one. I started learning about these online swapping activities.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them you had to have a blog to participate, you know?
Right.
So I was kind of like, okay, well, I'll start a blog and that will give me sort of a home or a forum to
mm-hmm.
participate. One of the first things that really attracted me was, it was called at the time the Virtual Quilting Bee.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, I think, to my knowledge, that was the first of these online bees that are now so prolific.
Right.
And basically what the idea is that 12 people from anywhere, could be around the world, which is the benefit of doing it online versus
yeah.
a real bee,
yeah.
right? It could be 12 people from around the world who who come together and say, okay, let's make an agreement. Let's hang together as a group for the next year, 12 months, and every month will be one member's month. Mm-hmm. And in your month, send out a packet of fabrics to the other 11 members. Everyone will make you a block and then send it back. And so at the end of it, at the end of the 12 months, each of the quilters has a quilt made of blocks from the people in the group.
Which is pretty cool.
I just thought that was the coolest thing ever. Mm-hmm. You know, because I could go into a room and shut the door and work on a quilt for a week, but how great is it to be able to do it collaboratively, mm-hmm. to be able to do it with people and other people in the community?
Yeah.
So that was really attractive to me. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that bee was going on, and it was a lot of the big name blog, you know, mm-hmm. quilt bloggers, mm-hmm. and I just loved following along, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. watching it. And that was actually how I started looking at Flickr.
And there's lots of stuff on Flickr to see. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And so, you know, I was kind of watching that. I was like, that would be so great, but who knows who I am? Who knows to even ask me to do mm-hmm. one of these? So I decided to start one myself. I said, you know what? I'm going to take the bull by the horns. And you started your own swap. If I want to do one of these, why not do one of my own? So very nervously, I kind of sent people, I expected they didn't know who I was, mm-hmm. sent 12 emails out to other people whose work I had admired on mm-hmm. Flickr and said, hey, I'm thinking about doing something like this. Are you interested? And people were.
Mm-hmm.
So I started a group that I ran called So Connected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was the first bee that I did. And then, you know, shortly after that, this whole virtual quilting bee ball started rolling. Mm-hmm. And I was being invited to participate in other ones. And mm-hmm. then I actually started two other ones, So Connected 2 and So Connected 3.
Yeah.
Which, looking back, is kind of crazy. I had all this all these balls in the air at the same time. And by the way, 3 children under the age of 5 and a full-time job.
Yeah.
But it was just so gratifying for me.
Right.
It was so fulfilling. And getting to meet people, getting to know people, like I said, just getting that feedback on my work, you know, making a block and having people say, that's great, you're doing a great job, was just extremely gratifying to me. So probably, you know, if I were to look at my time quilting in phases, the first phase, which is kind of now still happening, was all about swapping. And you know, I'd have my wife and family members and friends say, why are you doing all this stuff? You're making it and then you're sending it away. Like, why are you doing it?
I know. They often don't understand
and
that.
And so I say, because first of all, that's how I learned.
Yeah.
You know, I made a commitment to other people to sew something every month. Right. So, and at this point I was doing 2 or 3 or 4 blocks a month for other people.
Mm-hmm.
If I didn't have that commitment, I question whether I would have, you know, how much I would have been sewing.
Right.
Because if you're just doing it for yourself, it's great, but it's a lot easier on a Saturday to say, I'm not gonna do it mm-hmm. today, or on a Sunday, I'm not gonna do it today.
Right.
And then before you know it, 2 weeks, 3 weeks go by and you haven't done anything.
So it
kind of kept me in a routine of saying, okay, you know, this week I've got 2 blocks to make next week. And it's just blocks. I mean, mm-hmm. it was very short time. I could do it in an evening.
So it's pretty easy. Right.
But that's how I learned. And then, you know, from there I got into much more swapping finished goods.
Yeah.
So things like mini quilts, doll quilts. And that's where I really learned how to, you know, the basics of basting, quilting, binding. And it was a lot easier to do it on a small piece than on a full-size quilt.
Well, let me ask you this. This is an interesting question. Where, what countries have you received things from? Just so our listeners know what you can do. I mean, how far this is reaching.
Yeah, it's more like where haven't I, right? So I've swapped with people, I mean, in the UK, in Australia, for sure, Germany, Denmark,
mm-hmm.
Canada, Spain.
Yeah.
I mean, that's,
so the sky, I mean, really.
Those are the ones I know for sure. I'm trying to think back of who else, but.
Right, but it's pretty amazing.
Absolutely.
I mean, I know just going out there and being a blogger myself, I mean, there are people in the quilting world blogging all over mm-hmm. the world. And it's amazing when you start these online groups and chats, and it's just amazing what people do.
And what a great thing for my kids too. Yeah. I mean, for me to receive a package in the mail and open it up, and they want to know what's in there and they want to see it. And I can say, you know, someone in Germany, you know, sat down at a sewing machine and made this for me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just think that that's so great.
It's pretty inspiring that people do that.
And I think it's also been interesting to look at, and I hate to make sweeping generalizations, mm-hmm. but I think people in different parts of the world have different styles, different aesthetics. You know, they're using different fabrics. They're putting things together in ways I wouldn't have thought of. So I think that's the other benefit of this online virtual community, is just seeing what people are doing around the world. I think there is a different aesthetic or a different approach maybe to color, to use of color, to, you know, how to put things together, which broadens your inspiration.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, you also have another project, online newsletter.
Yeah.
Or an online magazine, I should say, Fat Quarterly. Can you elaborate on what Fat Quarterly is, who's involved in it, how often, you know, give us the details.
Yeah. Yeah, so Fat Quarterly, we've got a website at fatquarterly.com. About a little less than a year ago, a couple of us who had gotten to know one another on Flickr, we were conversing, you know, over email and through our photos and things like that. And we just started talking about how there really wasn't a very targeted publication. I don't know if I'm still learning. I don't know if I should use the word publication because we only publish online, you know, electronically. But
it is.
Yeah. So a targeted publication really for the types of quilters and the types of projects that we have come to mostly do on Flickr, right? Mm-hmm. So modern quilting, new fabrics, the new designers. I mean, what are people getting excited about? And we all really appreciated one another's styles. And so a couple of us came together, really spearheaded by a woman named Tasha, who lives in Germany.
Yeah.
Her handle, if you will, is Haney's, and if you know her on Flickr. But she really kind of pulled a couple of us together and said, hey, I have this idea. You know, what would you guys think if we collaboratively pulled together a collection? At that time, really, it was just a collection of patterns.
Mm-hmm.
She thought, what if each one of us, and it was six of us at the time, seven of us at the time, each one of us did a pattern once a quarter and put it out as a PDF and just to our, you know, to sort of broaden the reach of modern patterns, new thinking, that sort of thing, for people who are really invested in the online community. So I thought it was a great idea. And I said, yeah, sure, I'm in. And it was Katie and Bryony from the UK. Tasha's in Germany. Kate from Australia. Here in the also from the UK, Anila. And here in the US, myself and Tia. And we've had a couple of roster changes as we've sort of grown and moved. And now a woman named Nova from Australia is on our team. But we decided to do a quarterly online publication. And a blog to support it, you know, kind of a Flickr group and a Twitter name and a lot of stuff just to sort of get the ball rolling. And we came up with the name Fat Quarterly because it was a quarterly publication we thought it was cute.
Very befitting.
Yeah, it was cute. But actually, you know, the thing that's blown, and we started it in April of this year. So we've done two quarterly issues. I'm thinking about the dates, April, July. I think that's right. We just did a holiday issue that's available now on our website. All the issues are available now. And we just, actually yesterday I was proofing our next issue, which is coming out in November, which looks great. So the biggest story there is just that we really feel like we've tapped into something. So first of all, the publication has a couple of angles to it. The first one is that it is targeted. I mean, it's targeted to people who enjoy modern fabrics, who enjoy the new fabrics, who enjoy sort of the designer angle of the fabrics. But also the other angle of it is that it's by people from the community and we involve people from the community in it. So, you know, we're not sitting in an office of a major publication putting this together. You know, we're online every day. We're on Twitter every day. We're on Flickr every day.
You're
and we're talking
what's
to people.
Going on out there.
Yeah. And so we sort of feel like, you know, we're just like our readers. We are our readers. And that's, I think, it's been really great for us because it makes us very approachable. And it's not, you know, it's very down to earth. It's just a very down to earth operation, which is what I love about
which is a good thing. What now, can you tell the listeners, can you tell them if they have to subscribe, what they need to do, how they, you know, get all that information?
Absolutely. So we have, we use a service online that if you purchase an issue of Fat Quarterly, it is delivered to you as a PDF file. So we are completely paperless. We sell every issue individually, and it's priced in a way that we feel it's a great value. I mean, considering the cost of regular magazines and which are chock full of advertisements, which ours is not. We don't do any advertising in
which
our magazine.
Which is wonderful.
Yeah. Plus, you look at the cost of individual patterns if you were to buy them. We pull together anywhere from 6 to 9 patterns in every issue. And the issues can be purchased individually, or you can purchase a 4-issue subscription, an annual subscription. So you can purchase it either way. And we've been really surprised by, you know, when we first started this, we thought this could be a lit balloon. I mean, this, who knows if there's even an appetite for this and people are interested. And we were just really blown away by the number of subscriptions that people were buying, sight unseen of what the magazine was. And we really took that as, A, there's a niche out there. There's a need that's being filled. B, people have faith that we can follow through on four issues.
And they know, you, and they know the other people who are involved in it. So they like you said, they
have faith. Yeah, I think that's what we underestimated, right? I mean, I think we sort of underestimated, like, we were always looking at the magazine as an unknown property. But I think the six of us were known properties.
Exactly.
So I think people knew kind of what to expect and the types of things they were going to get. And I think each one of us had done, you know, tutorials on our blogs and free projects and stuff. So I think people kind of had already had a sense of what they were going to get. And the feedback on it has just been great. And and I mentioned earlier, it started out as just, you know, pulling together six or seven disparate patterns together. That's really evolved into a very cohesive publication. We have a theme for every issue, and we try to do projects and articles and stuff under that theme. For example, our last, the one that's coming up in that's being released in just a couple of weeks is fussy cutting. We've got one planned on solids. So there's sort of an overarching theme that a lot of the a lot of the products fall under, and it's also grown to include not just patterns but articles, a lot of features. We interview, you know, a lot of the designers, they're just really happy to talk to us. We do articles on upcoming fabric lines. We, of course, do a ton of giveaways, which people love. And actually today, for example, by the time this airs, we'll probably be able to see it post, but we're interviewing Denise Schmidt. Which is fantastic. I mean, when we started, we thought, what are our dreams? One of them would have been to talk to Denise Schmidt, and we're doing it here in Houston. So
she, you know, she lives in my state. She has Connecticut. She has some classes that I've been dying to go down and take. I've had friends of mine that have taken it, but so that'll be interesting.
I'm a little intimidated, to be honest. But
no, don't be intimidated. I'm sure she's very down to earth. I'm sure, and she's probably, like you said, very happy to sit down and do an interview with you. So I think that's what, so people can go right on to the website, fatquarterly.com. They can either subscribe or download or issue by issue if they want.
Absolutely. So, I mean, the great thing is that fatquarterly.com is also a standalone blog. So anyone who hasn't visited yet can go check it out, can go look at all the posts and articles that are just blog specific that are, you know, open and free. And then if you feel like you like what you see, or if you, you know, we feature our pictures of our projects. So if you want to learn more about those projects, we have a very easy button to just click over to our purchase page and either buy an individual issue or a subscription.
Well, I think it's I think it's wonderful that there are people like you out there thinking of new ways to educate, really, is what you're doing, educate quilters, because there's a need out there to see all these new things that are going on and to learn about the things that you're publishing. So I think it was a great thing.
It's
great
been very it's been very exciting. And it's exciting to see where it might go in the future.
Well, I have to say that I always love to read your blog. There was a time where I've been like very elusive on the blogs because I haven't had time. And then I'm like, geez, I haven't checked over John's blog lately. Went over there and you hadn't, I think, blogged for like a little bit. It was a very short period of time. Oh, good, I didn't miss too much. But you know, it's fun to go over and read. So,
I do have to thank you, because Jackie has been one of my earliest and most consistent readers and commenters on my blog.
I have.
So it's people like you that have kept me, especially in the beginning, have kept me sort of coming back.
It's and I think one of the things that intrigued me when I first landed on your blog was that you have your own sense of style, and I think that's important when you're a quilter. I mean, it's easy to pick up a pattern and do a pattern, but you have your own sense of what you like, and it's nice to see something fresh and new and see somebody's angle. You know, you have to stay open-minded.
Yeah.
I mean, as in anything, I think you need to be open-minded.
And I'll be honest, the my favorite part of the entire process is the design part, right? It's selecting fabrics, it's putting different fabrics together, and then it's marrying that collection of fabrics with just the right pattern or just the right idea. You know, and I think for me, the end of the process, the actual assembly and construction, I know some people, that's what they love, you know. For me, by the end, it's usually, just, okay, just get this done so I can move on to the next project. My mind is already thinking about the next pattern or the next, you know, way to, you know, the next fabric combination or things
so,
like that.
So is your favorite part of quilting the design process?
Absolutely.
By far?
Yeah. I mean, I definitely think there's something very relaxing about the construction part.
Mm-hmm.
And so that has also been a great
addition
into my life.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. It's sort of that
therapy.
You,
you need the therapy with twins, right?
Yeah. Sometimes I just need that, you know, kind of sitting at the machine and being, but definitely my favorite part though is leading up to that. It's the combination.
Do you
of,
have a least favorite?
Absolutely.
What's
yeah.
the least
my
favorite
least favorite is basting, especially the larger the project.
Uh-huh.
I just can't do it well. I don't have space in my house. I've got two bad knees. I just, I haven't yet found that magic recipe for an easy basting of
basting.
A quilt. Yeah.
Ask somebody else to do it for you.
Well, yeah. That's
and
what
then
I've
give
got.
It back to you so you can finish it. That,
yeah.
that would solve the problem.
Yeah,
right?
I need to find that person.
Yeah.
Anyone out there, let me know if your services are available.
But I'm sure that there'll be people who grab onto that and they'll email you and say, I'll baste it for you.
Yeah. I just can't. I just
Or better yet, your kids, are, if they're starting to get into it, you should teach them, you know, either to how to hand baste or pin baste or even, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I tried to already get them to be my ironers, but my wife wasn't up for that. They're not old enough yet to do all the pressing.
Well, I mean, but they'll get there. They'll get there. So, but it's been a real pleasure sitting here talking with you. I hope that you continue in your quest to find new and better things. And I can't wait to see you down on the market floor. I can't wait to get on the market floor, as I'm sure you can't, because I don't know if my listeners know, but today is the day market floor actually opens. And I don't know if you had heard when Carrie was doing her speech before Schoolhouse yesterday. There are more vendors here than last year, which is kind of hard for me to believe because it's just incredible.
Yeah, Minneapolis was my first market in the spring, and I still remember, and I tell people who are first-timers, the first 20 to 30 minutes, just chalk it up to being overwhelmed and sensory overload.
Yeah.
So kind of once you get over that, you can have a plan of attack for the show floor. But
we have our plan of attack. We start in row 100 and we go up and down and up and down. And if we don't finish it all in the first day, the second day, we start where we left off. Because, you know, if you want to see everything, that's probably a good way to do it. But, you know, it's amazing. But make sure if you can, make sure you get over to see the quilts too today.
Yeah. Because I only have today because tomorrow's Halloween and I'm flying home early to actually meet the kids.
What are your kids going to be for Halloween?
So my daughters, like I said, they're six. My twins are six. And this is the first year that they showed any interest in being something scary. So up to now, you know, it's always been fairies and princesses and butterflies. So we've had, you know, 5 good years of fairies and princesses and butterflies. This year they wanted fake teeth. So they found some costumes. I think it's a new show or something called Monster High. So one of my daughters is a little girl who's a werewolf with teeth, and my other daughter's a little Frankenstein girl with teeth. And then my son, of course, you know, as much as I every year want him to be Harry Potter, he never wants to. He's a ninja. So
well, maybe one year you can do the lightning bolt on his on his forehead.
Exactly. I remember being a little boy, and every little boy wants to be a ninja. So that's fine.
Yeah. Well, enjoy it, and thank you very much for sitting down with me today. And I hope you listeners, please make sure you stop over at my blog, cvquiltworks.blogspot.com. If you are a regular reader of my blog, I will have the links for you to go to get to John's blog and to also Fat Quarterly. But if you want to go directly there, it's quiltdad.com and fatquarterly.com. So you have three ways to access John. I hope you do. He's fabulous. He's got some wonderful insight. Please visit him. I'm sure he'll have some great blog posts, especially after following market. So until next time, happy quilting, everyone. We'll see you next time.